Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Yeah, how much hate can this country take? We've got the hate from the practitioners of the religion of peace in the Middle East. And then we've got the hate coming out of the Democrat Socialist Islamist Party under Barack Obama. And I was thinking about something. The invisible Americans known as the taxpayers, that's you and I, are getting the silent treatment. We're getting the silent treatment as though we are living with an abusive spouse. And I'm asking a simple question. And this is this question. Have you ever been on the receiving end of the silent treatment, whether you're a child from a parent or a husband or a wife? And what is that like, and what effect has it had on you? Because I did a little survey of people in radio, and strangely enough, in my non-scientific survey, I discovered that most of the people who are good in radio, who really want to be in radio, been in radio a long time, were products of the silent treatment, myself included, which I'm going to talk about. Now, what is the silent treatment, and why am I talking about it? Because first we have to go back to what a narcissist is. The narcissist thrives on attention. They're self-centered, egotistical, self-absorbed, conceited. And a highly narcissistic person might, for instance, feel he has the right, in fact, the mandate from God to reshape the nation like the United States, whether the people approve or not. A narcissist might, as one former Obama aide put it, not like people. A narcissist might wonder aloud in front of the White House press corps whether or not they will ask about his birthday party, right? And in true to form, this president falls back on the tried and true method of control employed by any narcissist, be it a girlfriend, boyfriend, or abusive parent, the silent treatment. In fact, the only people he seems to address are who? Well, illegal aliens, radical leftists, minorities, gays, Muslims, or any other lauded special interest is deemed worthy of attention from the denier-in-chief. Otherwise, this president has stopped talking at all to the rest of us. The narcissist-in-chief is giving the taxpayers the silent treatment, punishing those of us, those Americans he disagrees with, by not speaking to us at all, pretending that we don't exist. We have become the invisible Americans. It was said during the Nixon years by Spiro Agnew that there was a silent minority. Actually, a silent majority, excuse me. And he tried to marshal that silent majority, and they did so for a while until the vermin on the left smeared him. And the fact of the matter is, the silent majority in this country has never been more silent than it is under this narcissist in chief. So what is the silent treatment, personally or politically? And I don't expect you to call, not at all. But I'm not going to talk about ISIS. I'm not going to talk about Obama. I'm not going to talk about Boehner. Not for a while. I just can't do it. I don't have the stomach for it. They disgust me, frankly. I put them all in the same category. To me, they're all in one and the same crucible of illness. And they're making the world ill. They've fractured the world. They've destroyed the world. Yeah, I could point my fingers and say it's the Democrat Socialist Narcissist Party that did it. I could say liberalism did it, and I'd be right. But there's no point in saying what's already obvious. So I'd rather make it personal rather than political. And I want to talk to now about about emotional abuse in relationships. And ask you, have you been a victim of the silent treatment? Now, what is the silent treatment? I was raised on it by one side of my parentage, which is when my father didn't like what I did, he wouldn't speak to me sometimes for 3 days at a time. If I look and say, Dad, 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 he'd go like with his finger in front of his lips and go shake his head no. It was perhaps the most cruel punishment you could ever wreak upon a child. You ask any psychologist, a kid would rather be hit. A kid would, am I right, Robert? Neil, am I connecting with the younger? Yeah? A kid would rather be smacked and talked to than ignored and treated silently. So the silent treatment is obviously not speaking to you, or speaking when absolutely necessary, or speaking when they do speak to you in a monotone, or they're condescending to you, or they're sarcastic to you, or they can distance you or isolate you, or they can walk out of the room immediately after you enter a room. They will avoid eye contact with you. They'll give you an air of disgust. What is that about? What is this passive-aggressive behavior about? Well, frankly, it's common for both the perpetrator and the victim to be unaware that it is a highly destructive form of emotional abuse. You may think that giving someone the silent treatment is not a form of emotional abuse, but it is. Because not speaking to someone who's close to you is a manipulative tool favored by narcissists. That's not to say that everyone who uses the silent treatment is a narcissist. But I'm talking about you. Parent-child relationship, teacher-pupil relationship, employer-employee relationship, or even a platonic relationship can be an emotionally abusive relationship, and it has its effects. Now, I don't know whether you want to talk about this. It's just out of the blue. I realize that. But I've had enough of ISIS. I've had enough of Kerry. I've had enough of all the politicians right now. I'd rather talk about a psychological issue. And while you're calling me at 855-407-282, you know, it occurs in the workplace. You can have an employer or a partner who employs the silent treatment in order to manipulate you. They may think it makes them more powerful, but frankly, it only makes them look like what they really are, a sad manipulator. And so I think it's worth talking about. If you don't, we'll go on to other stuff. But in the interim, I want to play a little bit more out of the love song book here on the Savage Nation. What have we played just now? So Fine by the Fiestas? Or okay, then go to So Fine with the version you like. I like the one with the echo chamber. I want to hear that one. Mm-hmm. Come on. Hit the button already. The hate song, where Obama treats the American taxpayer like an abusive husband treats a wife he wants to control through the silent treatment. See, we don't exist to him. He busts our borders. He busts our language. He busts our cultures. He ignores our concerns. Obama's treating us like a wife who's nothing to him. How do you like that one? You like that one? Now, while you're calling me, I think I'll go into a tangent within the tangent because I'm not ready to do politics. I may not do any politics today. I mean, I pulled some stories. Joe Biden apologizes for poor choice of words after making a reference to Shylocks. Naturally, that got the attention of Abraham Foxman of the ADL. ADL had nothing to say about ISIS, nothing to say about Al-Qaeda, nothing to say about the real Jew hatred running around the world. But, oh, there comes Foxman out of the gates. How dare you say Shylock? Shylock has roots in the medieval stereotype about Jews. Get off it, Foxman. Why don't you take the fight to the enemy instead of wasting our time with attacking someone who uses the word Shylock? Get over it. Move on. Move on, Foxman. Do something real. Is what I like to say to him, but since they don't listen to the show. You know, was it Monday? I had a debate with an Orthodox Jewish caller. I got a couple of calls on it, both pro and con. I had friends call me and say, that was an amazing interaction between you and that caller. I never heard anything like that in my life. I said, well, I didn't plan it. I may be the only show in talk radio that has real callers. The others are all canned, I heard. Yeah, I didn't know that. Most of them can the calls. They get a pool of callers and they plug them in. I actually fish for callers. And I have natural callers, which has always distinguished the program. And some of them are amazing, and some of the conversations are amazing. And that one was an amazing conversation. And it was done on the natch. I didn't plan it. I didn't have a script. No one typed anything out for me. But you get a sense of who the talk show host is if you listen to the interchange between the caller and the talker, the caller and the talker. If it's a natural interchange, not planned or not packaged. And so I'm not going to talk about the NFL. I'm not going to talk about another goon who beats up a child or a wife. I don't understand this. I don't know why you'd waste your time wanting to hear about it. I don't get that. Why is that an interesting story? I'd rather talk about this, the silent treatment. I'd rather play love songs. I have some really good ones, by the way. Oh, but before I get into that tangent again and get your calls at 855-407-282 on the Savage Nation, either I could tell you about the worst restaurant meal I had in my life last night without mentioning where. I would never mention where because I don't mean to harm the individual. But I would say it ranked the worst meal of my life by accident. The worst from top to bottom. What do you do if you're exhausted after a show and it's 5 hours later and you're starving? And you go to dinner and you go after dark. I'm sorry, this is no derogatory because at that hour already the transfusion trees are gone. I don't know about, I can't eat in the Lord's Cathedral. I know one day that could be me, but for the grace of God. I see apparatus from the Lord's Cathedral. I think of my mother in the nursing home. I lose my appetite. It's the same thing with babies at another table. I can't eat around babies. I raised them. I can't eat around them. I don't like food being thrown. Can't take it. So I go when it's dark, when most of that is gone from the restaurant scene. No one's in the restaurant. I call in advance. I say a simple thing. Just give me pasta primavera. Just have it ready. I'm starving. Put appetizers on the table. Okay, I get there. There's nothing. A breadstick. A breadstick, not even a glass of water. And there's two people in the restaurant and five people running around. I swear to God. 30 minutes later, they ask me, do you want tomato sauce on the pasta primavera? I said, please, anything. Put any sauce on. Why are you asking me this? Well, it was one thing after another, and it was not meant to happen. So I was sick all night as a result of that. I guess that was somewhat to do with, like, rejection. When I think about that, that's sort of like the silent treatment. And maybe that's what I'm talking about. It's just like an abusive restaurant scene. Did you ever go to an abusive restaurant where they're abusive by accident? That's worse than being abusive on purpose. Abusive on purpose, I could get into an argument with them. But when the guy is nice to you and they're being abusive by accident, it's even worse. So today for lunch, for example, I told you the schedule is very hard for me. I start at noon on the West Coast, 3 o'clock on the East Coast, obviously. And I'm tired of eating Chinese food in a container. So I went in the restaurant kitchen. You want to hear what I made? You'll never believe it. Why do you want to know this? Why are you interested in what I did in the restaurant kitchen before the meal, before the show? Well, maybe you're not, but I'm going to tell you about it in a moment to show you what you can do with leftovers. What you can do with leftovers. You know, radio hosts who don't play the high life, the no bodyguard type, the unpompous ones, the ones who don't give too many speeches or any at all, the ones who don't travel with an entourage, the ones who are rarely, if ever, seen. In other words, guys like me, we are very good at making our own, food, makeup out of leftovers. Leftover cookery is a very big deal to talk shows. You go in a restaurant, in a talk show kitchen, you have no idea what you're going to find in there, how old it is. It can be used for a PhD experiment in microbiology. Most of the food in restaurant refrigerators have been there since before Rush Limbaugh was born. There's no question about that. Some of it's from pre-Rush Limbaugh on the radio, for sure. Way in the back of a radio refrigerator, you're going to find an item like a yogurt that if you could culture the microbe at the back of the refrigerator, you could probably win a new prize. Or maybe let's say you could name a new organism. I used to love that when I was in botany, the names of plants, where there used to be a method of naming the plant. There was a Latin binomial, and then the last name would, the second name, the species would be named for the individual. So let's say I found a new substance, a new organism. It would be called, let's say it was a good bacteria, it would be called Lactobacillus savagii. That's it. They took your last name if you were really famous in science, you would get a named organism. Would you believe that? Savagii. It's not bad. It's not a bit savagii. You have to change it to a Latin species. So we'll go back to, have you ever been on the receiving end of the silent treatment? Believe it or not, the board's full. I knew it. People are so tired of the hate coming out of the White House, the hate coming out of the outhouse called the Middle East, that I have to go for a break. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. We've gone from borders, language, and culture to variety, information, and entertainment. And maybe a little therapy along the way. I mean, if I give up talk radio, if I give up political talk radio, which is unlikely, I'll go into like a call-in advice show. I will. I'll just do that. I can do it on the internet and probably have a big audience because I am sick and tired of a political structure that is so wimpy in the face of such Nazi fascism, the Islamo-fascism that I am facing personally in my life every day from the scum in this country, the fellow travelers who, as far as I'm concerned, should be rounded up. Round it up before they harm us. What, are we sitting waiting here like an abused wife? Oh, they didn't strike us yet, say all of the nice men with their legs crossed in the CIA, FBI, DHS, White House. Oh, it's a religion of peace. Their legs are sitting there talking so politely. Round them up before they strike. Get out the raid. Get out the Roundup. Spray them before they spray you. But that's why I don't want to do politics. You understand there's only one solution for fascism. Kill them before they kill you. Crush them before they crush you. Throw them out of their damn country before they touch you. And they're still debating over whether or not they should revoke the passports of a terrorist. You hear this? That's why I'm talking about the psychological damage of the silent treatment, because we, the American people, have had enough of this government with the silent treatment of the narcissist in chief. So I'm making it very personal. I'm talking about it personally. Have you been a victim of the silent treatment, or have you imposed it on someone? How do you like that? I got people calling who are telling me they're using it, and it works. Where do you hear these calls? I know you're not going to hang up. You can't resist this.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
We've gone from a melting pot to a chamber pot in one generation. You ever believe bringing people in who are diseased? Wait, stop for a minute. Let me think about it. I said I wouldn't do politics. Listen to what I just said. We've gone from screening immigrants to make sure they didn't infect the general population to not only not screening them, but purposely bringing in diseased immigrants. I want anyone listening to this show to tell me that's not insanity, the mark of insanity. That's why I'm not going to talk about it. First of all, my server just crashed. That's number one. Number two, no, it's okay. I don't need to look at what's on the internet. I mean, anyone can look at the internet. In 2 seconds, you go to the Drudge Report. There's all the news that you need. So what am I going to do, just read what's on the internet? I'm doing something that needs to be done in radio. I'm talking about the silent treatment. I'm talking about the silent treatment and its damage on people as a weapon used basically by narcissists like our president, who's treating the taxpayer like an abusive husband is, conducting himself as though we are nothing but a cheap wife he can beat up and kick around, and we can do nothing back to him. It's a devastating situation that we're in to have a president who treats everyone that way, by the way, but most especially the taxpayer. Oh, but if you're a special individual, you know, you get the special treatment. Him and Pelosi, they wash the feet of illegal alien children who are non-citizens. They wash their feet. Anyone but the American taxpayer need apply. Mike on WABC, welcome to the show today. We're talking about the emotionally abusive relationship known as the silent treatment. Fire away.
Michael is an absolutely correct that it's been a weaponized version of it carries long consequences and a myriad of problems well into the adult life.
Now, what you're talking about, the silent treatment?
Yes.
What? Now, I assume you were the victim of it.
A few times, absolutely. And for in retrospect, minor offenses.
Now, what do you mean, by a parent or a lover?
A parent.
And yep. So you were raised in that manner, whereas if you did something wrong, they wouldn't talk to you?
Yes.
And how did that affect you? Did it make you a silent type or a talkative type?
No, I'm very talkative. But what occurs, I think, even more important is how it affects your professional life later on.
Tell us. Give us a hint without giving anything away.
No, I think it devalues your worth in terms of how you project yourself to other people, where you're willing to accept things that most people would not accept.
Hmm. Oh, that's interesting. Self-abuse follows that kind of rejection.
Yes, where you'd be, so you would be willing to accept certain circumstances in a professional or an emotional circumstance that you, normally most people would say that I'm not tolerating.
Why? Why is that?
I think because you develop as a self-defense mechanism the desire to please everyone to the point.
Now, Mike, do you have children of your own?
I do.
And have you been tempted to use the silent treatment in any interactions with them?
Absolutely not.
No, I never did it to my kids, never. Because I hated it more than anything on earth. I made a decision I would never do to them what was done to me, ever.
Yes, as a parent, that's what you decide to do.
Yeah, so you see, Mike, what I'm saying is you can take the dross of abuse and turn it into the gold of living well, I mean, and being a better person. The truth is you don't have to suffer from it the rest of your life.
It takes a lot of therapy, though.
Well, yes, it can. It can take a lot of self-analysis, too. So I hear you, and I appreciate that. Let me send you a copy of my new book, Stop the Coming Civil War, for sharing that with me. Phone number here is 855-400-7282. That opens up a line on this issue of the silent treatment. Now, here's an interesting one. on the reverse of it, this is one you'd not expect. We're going to go to Washington, D.C. now to WMAL. John, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, my 16-year-old daughter gives me the silent treatment when she doesn't get what she wants. The effect of that is really that it makes me angry. I mean, I really want to solve the issues, but a kid treating their parent that way, it's really not the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, I know that. You know, you're raising a very good point. The sulking, silent, seething teenager is the silent treatment in reverse, giving it to the parent.
Right.
Well, so what? What does that start, a cold war where the parent gives it back to her?
Actually, it is. It does. I mean, if she wants to give me the silent treatment, I'm going to pretty much tell her, I'm going to give you what you need, not what you want. And just to give you a correlation between government giving us the silent treatment and kids giving us the silent treatment.
But did you catch my correlation of Obama giving the taxpayer the silent treatment like an abusive husband? Do you think that's a fair analogy, where he ignores every one of our concerns and caters to the opposite side of everything decent about America?
Absolutely. To make himself seem like the very fair and great president that he is, while he still gets...
Here is a man who takes the side of rioters over the police. The police are there to protect property and life, and in every interchange, he takes the side of the rioter, him and Eric Holder. Now, think about that, how sick it is. Think about how pathological this administration really is. All right, my friend. Again, I don't want to dwell on the... I don't want to fall into the political side of that one. I'd like to take more calls. The silent treatment is a very big topic, and I love it. I'm having such a good time that it's frightening. And now we're going to go back to WABC in New York. John, go ahead. Give us your example of the silent treatment and what it did to you.
My father used the silent treatment on me as a form of punishment, but I believe it made me a stronger person today.
Okay, explain how you became stronger.
He told me, he said, when I was 8 years old, I said, Dad, when I'm bad, why do you give me the silent treatment? He's like, I'm going to explain that to you when you get a little bit older. And he told me, because when you get older, you're going to come across people that for no reason are just not going to like you, not going to speak with you, whether it's in school, in work, marriage, etc. And he's right, because nowadays, where I work, I deal with a lot of people, and we're on opposite side of tracks, religion-wise, political-wise. They give me the silent treatment, and I just let it roll off my back. I do not let it bother me, and that's made me mentally tough and mentally strong. It does not bother me.
That's a very interesting analysis. Yeah, I understand that, but your father was doing it out of kindness. But there are parents who do it out of maliciousness and out of sadism. In other words, they do it strictly for the control element and strictly to make the child squirm and cry, to break the child, not to make the child. And that's the one I'm talking about, the harmful silent treatment. Your father had a different motive. He was trying to teach you something and make you stronger as a man. Then there are fathers who do it simply to hurt the child, to break the child, to make the child weaker, not stronger.
That's correct. It bothered me like you wouldn't believe, but it did make me stronger, because even with my wife, when we argue, she gives me the silent treatment, and I just kill her with kindness. That's what he told me to do. When somebody, like my boss at work, does not like me, he does not speak to me, but I kill him with kindness. In the morning, I said, good morning, Roger. At night, good night, Roger. Very nice. He does not talk to me. He does not like me because he knows my political views. We spoke at a barbecue about political views, and he does not like me.
Oh, well, I got something to even make the relationship even worse, which is a free copy of Stop the Civil War. Stop the Coming Civil War. Would you like to carry that to work, John?
I would love to.
But only under one condition, that you don't wrap it in a plain brown wrapper. I want you to put it on your work desk and see what your boss does then. No, I'm not insisting you do that. I assume that you're on the conservative side, not on the ultra-liberal side. That's the only thing I can conclude. But thank you for joining the conversation. It's unbelievable to me. You see, this is interesting. I told you once on this show that everything is political. I told you that if I study the movements of an ant, I can make it into a political discussion. If I talk about dogs, I can make it into a political discussion. If I talk about a restaurant or food or a meatball, I can make it into a political discussion. I mean, my most famous food conversation is the Swedish meatball. And everyone who knows the show remembers that. I said that even the meatball is political. People would say, why? I said, in the 50s, when America was great, the meatballs were large and fluffy and tasty. And as we have devolved into a socialist-like nation, the meatballs have also shrunken, and they look like Swedish meatballs now. Small, hard, and tasteless. Now, that's something. That analogy has been remembered by almost everyone who meets me. They have a smile. They can remember that one. But as I'm saying to you, politics can be found everywhere, even in a meatball. Now, I don't want to get into, again, the politics of the day. I may or may not do it later. We have one great guest coming up a little later on in the show. I'd like to stick to this theme a little bit longer of the damage of the silent treatment and what it's done to you with personal stories. If there are therapists out there who would like to, you know, chime in and educate the public, this is a great forum, by the way. We have a therapist on WBAP in Dallas. Jeremy, welcome to the Savage Nation on the silent treatment. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I just wanted to make a comment. I spoke with you before about the Robin Williams thing one time, but
After the suicide, the chair and the belt, right?
Yeah, and so I was listening to your show like I always do, and I this topic is just what you're hitting on is kind of remarkable, because the caller that called in about the reverse silent treatment, one of the things I want to do is give you some insight. When an adolescent behaves that way, it's developmentally appropriate. In other words, adolescents suffer from what's called the adolescent fable, which means they're as preoccupied with themselves as they think the world is with them. So
Hold on. I remember you. You're a great, great analyst. Say that again, because that was so insightful. I don't want it lost. Please say it again.
Sure. So an adolescent has what they call a defense mechanism called an adolescent fable, where they believe that the world is as preoccupied with them as they are with themselves.
Holy God. That is true. So that's Obama to a T. He's basically an adolescent, isn't he?
So check this out. When it transfers into adulthood, it becomes a cornerstone of personality pathology. In males, it generally shows itself as narcissism. In females, it generally shows itself as borderline personality disorder. So whenever Obama takes the podium, he assumes, this is my opinion, of course, based on my experience in education, he assumes that everybody is listening to him because they want to, not because he's the only president that we have. And so when he goes around and caters and panders to the bullying sect, in his mind, he's putting himself in between them and us, because that's how important he is. He's doing us a favor by the catering. And what happens with the silent treatment is, what do you do when you know your dad's coming home, or you know your dad's in the house and he's upset with you and not saying anything? Your mind starts to wander and starts going through worst-case scenarios. And that causes a traumatic emotional response in you, because you're actually starting to suffer emotionally from what you're imagining is going on in his head.
Yes, yes. You start to imagine that, so it becomes bigger than it is.
Oh yeah. So that no matter what that person does next, it's seen almost as a relief. Oh, it wasn't as bad as what I thought it was going to be.
Holy God, you are good. You are good. So you're a therapist?
Yes, sir.
I think you and I ought to go into business. We ought to do a show on radio.
Let's do it, man.
No, I'm telling you, you're good. Neil, you got to get this guy's contact. I think I'm going to do a therapy session, him and I on radio. We'd be a killer. So let's go into this a little bit more. Isn't the silent treatment a form of aggression, though, Jeremy?
It absolutely is. And because one metric you can run it through is you can ask yourself, is it intentional? And yes, it's intentional. That immediately makes it a form of aggression, because what you're doing is you're imposing an unnatural state on somebody.
And yes, it is an unnatural state to not communicate. You know, I started the show by saying it can be in any different kind of relationship, parent, child, man and woman, teacher, pupil, employer, employee. Even a platonic friendship can turn into an abusive relationship where one party continues to send emails and the other one doesn't respond, for example. And then finally, five emails later, when they respond, you say, oh, God, you're so glad they responded. Is that the game?
Yeah, that's the game. And the other thing, too, is the person who's – what ends up happening to the person who is continually sending the emails that aren't getting responses is gradually they're developing a subset of failure, because, you know, I send it one time, they don't respond. I send it two times, they don't respond. Well, they responded on the fifth time. Well, next time I want their attention, I just have to send them five emails.
Oh, my God. So you reduce your expectations.
Exactly. And you actually lower your threshold for receiving unhealthy behavior.
Holy God. Wow. We are all in need of therapy, I'll tell you. Jeremy, who do you treat? What type of patient?
I'm a veteran myself. I see primarily veterans, chemical dependency, and those who are in need of suicide intervention and chemical dependency and trauma. That's basically my population.
Please accept Stop the Coming Civil War. I know you're going to love it. And please stay on the line and give Neil your contact. We got to do something more. Folks, this is such a great topic for me. I hope that you're understanding why I'm doing it, because I don't. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Right now, my computer is giving me the silent treatment. It's crashed again. It won't come back online, and I know it's coming. I'm going to pull its plug. I'm pulling its electricity. I hear that the computers have feelings and they have fear. Well, let me tell you something, Lenovo. I'm pulling your plug. It's enough already from you. I'm not taking it anymore. During the break, I'm ripping the plug out of the back. It's the surefire way to reboot. I'm starting to enjoy this so much, I may have to do a doctor's show once a week, an hour a week, something like that. I may do it as a fake show, a real show. Don't know. With experts, without them. Maybe take your calls. We'll have to see. But boys and girls, I want to remember something. In order to understand what I'm about to say, you have to understand the basics of human health. You have to know that gluten is related to glue. And the word semen is related to cement. If you want good semen, you need good gluten. Don't listen to the morons who tell you have a gluten-free diet. It will weaken your cement. If you want cement, you must have gluten. Because the glue in gluten cements the cement. All right, we had our fun. I'll be back. Politics as usual or not. It's the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We are playing love songs today to counter the hate songs coming out of the cesspool called the Middle East and, of course, the White House. And as I said in the first hour, I'm talking about the emotional abuse that occurs in a silent treatment relationship where we, the American taxpayers, are treated like this by the president and the Democrat Socialist Islamist Party of America. They consider you to be garbage. They never refer to you in any manner other than as in a derogatory manner. While they cater to the other side, the recipients of welfare, the illegal immigrant, the gay, any special interest fractured group is the party of the Democrat Socialist Islamist group. They seem to speak with more respect about ISIS than they do about the taxpayer in America who despises the welfare state. And that's why I'd rather make it personal rather than political, because everything is political at the end of the day. And we've been talking about how the abuse of the silent treatment affects the person. First of all, as you well know, and we've discussed it in the last hour with some of the best callers I've ever had, we're talking about the emotional damage done to people through the silent treatment. And what does that mean? What does it mean? Well, why does a person use the silent treatment to begin with? Why does Obama do that to the taxpayer? For the same reason an abusive husband uses the silent treatment on a wife or a girlfriend. One, it places the abuser in a position of control. By ignoring you, you want to know why he's ignoring you. Why does Father Obama ignore me? It silences your attempts at assertion. Since you don't exist, You can't say anything against him. That's how it was done in the Soviet Union. Okay? It punishes you for any slight against the narcissist and chief's ego, meaning he doesn't like your criticism of him, so he's punishing you for it. And the result of the silent treatment is usually what the narcissist doing it wants, which is a reaction from the victim, a reaction, by the way, a negative reaction, and a sense of control. They want you to react so they can say you're a bad person. Now, the targets of such emotional abuse may be emotionally extremely intelligent, have great empathy, tremendous conflict resolution skills, the ability to compromise, and be a great worker. All of this is used to respond to the deafening silence that they experience. And the abused person, whether it's he or she, can often reach out to the narcissistic person trying to resolve the misunderstanding. They email incessantly. They phone. They text. And what are they met with? Silence. And this can occur not only in a love relationship, it can occur in a business relationship. You can have a business partner who's exactly like this narcissist I'm talking about. And what is the narcissistic, what is the message of the narcissist but of extreme disapproval? Oh, they don't approve of you. You're insignificant. I ignore you because you're nothing. You're garbage. I'm God and you're crap. You're non-existent. Keep working, slave. So the emotional immaturity of a narcissist like this is that of a five-year-old child who pouts and refuses to play with his friend in the sandbox because his friend wants to share the pail and shovel. And so don't assume that a work relationship like this is one because that party is so smart. The narcissist who imposes this upon people he's allegedly in business with develops a false sense of control in the relationship just because he doesn't communicate. He thinks that he's in charge. Well, that's not exactly the truth, by the way. Sometimes there are unintended consequences of such silent treatment. So we're talking about that today, and what is the healing process? The main thing for you to understand, whether it's Obama, the Democrats, or a business or love associate, is do not accept emotional abuse. Know that you're worth something. Know that you're worthy of a healthy relationship. Note that you're worthy to communicate as a human being. Play with someone who has the ability to share the shovel and pail. Or don't play with them at all. Get out of the sandbox. And on that note, we'll take calls on the Savage Nation. The most skeptical show in radio has now become the most insightful show in radio. I could talk about President Obola, if you'd like. Who sends troops to a hot zone? Who has any sense at all? The answer is nobody. Who in the public health community dares ask this narcissist, but Mr. President, isn't there any risk of them contracting the disease? No answer. Again, the abuser in chief. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do you understand how it's political and personal? You should understand it. So we're playing love songs today to counter the hate songs coming out of the Middle East cesspool coming out of the White House. How about something corny about True True Love by the Corvairs? I think we have that whatever you want to call it. We played Head on My Shoulder. We played The Book of Love. We played So Fine. We played Sea of Love by Phil Philippe before the Great Society ruined everything. Became the Grated Society, like grated cheese. Anyway, what's the difference? What's this headline on Drudge? Kerry mocked on Hill. Schmendrick. You know, this guy has everything. What is he wasting his time as Secretary of State? The guy is a laughing stock. No one believes a word he says. He looks like a pumpkin with white hair. Man tan, the cufflinks, Mr. Secretary of State. This guy wanted to be president. He still thinks in his own mind he will be. So you want me to eat my heart out over this? Of course he's mocked on the Hill. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's a born liar. Everything he says is a parsing, like the whole bunch of them. Like all the ushers in the White House. All right, let's get back to the abusive relationships out there. Let's go to Eileen on KSFO. Eileen, talk about the subject at hand, which is the silent treatment. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael. I had a stepdad from the time I was 4 till I was almost 16, and he would do that to me. He would not talk to me for like 2 weeks at a time, and that really made me an insecure child. I never realized that until later in years. I noticed that I was the only kid in class pictures sitting there with my jacket on. I'd never take my jacket off.
Wait. Why wouldn't you take your jacket off?
think it was a security blanket. It would be a hot day, and I'd never take my coat off, ever.
That's weird. I mean, I don't mean I'm not putting you down. That's interesting. That's an interesting observation of keeping yourself wrapped up, a shell, in other words.
Exactly.
You had a little shell. Do you like to wear leather like leather jackets?
No, I don't.
No, I'm just telling you, it's a very good shell. A leather jacket's a very good turtle shell. So have you gotten over this in your adult life?
Well, not all the way, no, because I found that I would be afraid to put myself out to apply for a higher job from the company and things. I just have a lack of self-esteem, and I think it came from that early childhood, the way I was treated.
Well, you're aware of what created this sense of sort of worthlessness that you experience, but that doesn't help you fix it, does it?
I think it's just ingrained in you, you know, that whatever it was doing to my mind, it just, you know, it just stayed in there, I guess.
Eileen, without getting too personal, have you ever had a successful relationship?
Yes, I have one now. I had a horrible, very abusive 27-year marriage, and finally got away from that. But I have been in a relationship now for 20 years, and it's a very successful, very caring relationship. So.
Okay, but don't you think this caring relationship is a direct result of the uncaring relationship you had as a child?
Well, I know I always seek that, but I don't know that I knew how to, you know, get out of the first relationship. And then I did find, like I say, a successful relationship later on. But
Eileen, I'm going to ask you a bizarre question. Do you listen to me on the radio because I fulfill a certain role in your emotional life?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love listening to your show. I hate it when I've missed it, and I go, oh, no, it's 2 o'clock. I missed Michael Savage today.
I'm asking is another question. Radio hosts have a very peculiar role to play in people's lives. Sometimes it's simply the information. But very often when it's a show that, like mine, it's lasted for 20 years, it's because people have accepted me as a part of the geography of their soul and mind. What role do you think I play in your life?
You just help us figure things out sometimes. Like today, I've you know, heard things about, you know, narcissistic people and how they work on your mind. And having the psychiatrist call in, or psychologist, I forgot which the gentleman was, but...
Yeah, he was great. Wasn't that amazing? He's one of my favorite callers. Well, politically, though, would you consider yourself a political... What's your political orientation? I don't want to freeload the question.
Well, I'm not a liberal, I'll tell you that much.
That's interesting. That's an interesting answer. Well, I hope you'll accept my book, Stop the Coming Civil War, and I hope you'll read it and see why I wrote it. And I thank you very much for being a listener and a caller to the Savage Nation. That opens up one line at 1-855-407-2828. Again, I ask you, have you ever been on the receiving end of the silent treatment, and what is it like, and what has it done to you in your life? I have time right now for one quick call. Neil, what would be the best one? Luke on line 3 on WMAL in Washington, D.C. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. So I wanted to tell you, to dovetail a little bit on what the one gentleman called about, that I was doing a study on servant leadership as opposed to transformational leadership. And in Psychology Today, Susan Pertens wrote an amazing article on the executive CEO, and that they, who are servant leaders, desire to lead because they desire to serve, versus a transformational leader who desires to lead because they want people to change into them, into their likeness.
Wait, hold it. That's amazing. Who wrote that?
I believe her name is Susan Peterson. Susan Peterson.
That's amazing. So say that again now. There are two types of leaders, CEOs. What are they now?
There's the servant leader who leads because they desire to serve, and there's the transformational leader who leads because they want to change people into their image. And
so the second one would be the narcissist in plain English.
Well, what they said was that there was a scale of narcissism that they evaluated, and they found that transformational leaders used narcissistic behaviors to transform their followers into their image. but that servant leaders did not possess narcissistic behaviors at all. That narcissism is in direct conflict to why you serve. And that transformational leadership, which was that buzzword back in the 90s, is actually a narcissistic mindset.
But what do you do with the individual like myself who's a born leader and doesn't lead anyone, not only because he doesn't want anyone to become like him, but he doesn't want to be bothered? In other words, there are many people out there like me who are born leaders who don't lead. They choose to, as they used to say, follow their own, you know, dance to their own tune or whatever. They don't want to be bothered with it. They don't really want to lead anyone. They don't want to dominate anyone. They don't want to run anything. They just want to live and let live, and they want to express themselves the best they can, whether it be as a painter, a musician, an artist, a poet, or a talk show, scientist. But there's a lot of people like that who are born leaders who don't impose themselves on people.
Exactly, and that's more of a servant leader mindset. Their desire is to use their power and influence to improve the lives of those who they're influenced. So
that's interesting. So in other words, the individualist is in some way the servant leader. Let's say he's a great painter. Let's pick anyone out of the blue, Picasso. Was he doing that to improve humanity? I don't think he was doing it to improve humanity. He just was a great painter. Anyway, brilliant call. A free copy of Stop the Coming Civil War is coming out to you. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. So the morons in the U.S. House of Representatives today, allegedly the House of what? I don't know what they represent. Who do they represent? The House of Lobbyists, the U.S. House of Lobbyists today, as we speak, is going to vote on whether to give aid to the Free Syrian Army. You hear? To back the rebels in Syria to overthrow the ISIS. Now, Russia today accused the West of ignoring its warnings about the growing terrorist threat in Syria, and Russia claimed that the so-called moderate rebel front, the one that the morons in the U.S. House of Lobbyists wants to arm as part of its anti-ISIS strategy, no longer exists. Russia said it doesn't exist. This is the same group, the Free Syria Army rebels, that are supposedly going to be our allies against ISIS. We're going to arm them? Russia said they don't exist. This came during a session of the UN Human Rights Council. And the fact of the matter is, Russia says that the Free Syrian Army no longer exists. Armed groups qualified as moderate are closely coordinating their activities with terrorist groups. Why do we not listen to people who know more about it than Obama does? Why are we spreading, why are we giving our weapons to people who are going to use them against our own troops? Do you know how crazy John McCain is? The man belongs in a madhouse. The man has been foaming at the lips to arm the so-called good rebels for several years now. This is the same lunatic who demanded that the Muslim Brotherhood be reinstated in Egypt against the will of the people. The man is a crazy. The man is a clear and present danger to the survival of this country. And yet I fear he's liable to run as a Republican. I'm almost guaranteeing he will. I can almost guarantee you that Madman McCain, the bomb thrower, will run again and destroy the Republican Party once again. See, I did politics in the middle of this discussion of the abusive relationship. I couldn't help it. When I return, we go back to the normal programming.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
34 minutes after the hour, you're listening to the one and only Savage Nation today, talking about the silent treatment, the emotional abuse in such relationships. Are you a victim? The passive-aggressive behavior known as the silent treatment. It's an interesting topic, and it is related to the political system that we have accepted, as abusive as it may be. Remember, we are being treated like a spouse, a condemned, despised spouse by Obama. You know what he did today? September 17th is the anniversary of the Founding Fathers' ratification of America's most important document, the Constitution. So today the White House celebrated Constitution Day with a picture of, not the Constitution, but of Obama. He got up there, this narcissistic fool, and the White House tweeted out a picture of Obama giving a speech without the Constitution. Listen, what can I say to you? This man is treating American taxpayers like we are basically an abused wife. Condescending, sarcastic, or ignoring you altogether. And this issue of the emotional toll of a silent treatment is very interesting politically. Whether it's a parent doing it to a child doing it to a parent, a teacher to a pupil to a teacher, an employer to an employee, or even a platonic friendship, the abuser could be either party. But in this case, Obama is the abuser. He's treating you in that manner. And what is interesting is how the abused, meaning you the taxpayer, are going to respond to this abuse. And will you go out and vote, or will you give up on the political system entirely? Will you respond to the Democrat Socialist Islamist Party under Obama, or won't you? I mean, that's really the question. Are you going to say, I'm going to prove to you that I do exist? I will go and vote you and all of those like you out of office. After all, there is a document called the U.S. Constitution. And it says in Section 4, the President, Vice President, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment. And it states under what conditions. And I am telling you as I sit here that Obama, there are grounds to impeach Obama, many grounds. I can name all of them. I do in my book, Stop the Coming Civil War. Don't ignore them just because no one's acted on them. Just because we have a supine Congress doesn't mean that I'm not correct. Nevertheless, I'm going to go back to this subject of the absence of communication and what it does to people. And it's an interesting topic to me because I was raised like this. I mean, I told you this before. I had a father who would do this to me. Rather than smacking me or hitting me, he would ignore me. And this would go on for days. Look how I wound up a talker in radio. I love to talk. I'm a hyperverbal person. I actually was long before that. I was born as a hyper talker. So he knew that I lived for communication. He knew that I needed to communicate. He knew that communication to me was the essence of life itself. He used to say in Russian sometimes to his friends, he talks and he talks and he talks. He didn't say I would talk like a fool, by the way. I always asked questions that were penetrating that he couldn't answer, or I would discuss things that he didn't even understand. Even as a child, I understood certain things, and I don't even want to go into it. But the point was, is to me, talk is life itself. You know, who was it, Descartes wrote, I think, therefore I am? Michael Savage wrote, I talk, therefore I am. That's a joke that you would understand if you took Philosophy 101. Not gangbanging 102. I mean, if you're a fan of Obama, you wouldn't even understand who Descartes is. You probably think he's a racist white male who you should investigate immediately through the Justice Department. But no, he was a philosopher. And I believe he was the one who wrote, I think, therefore I am. And therefore I say, I talk, therefore I am. But the thing is that my dad, God rest his soul, in his mind, maybe he was doing it to toughen me up. Who knows what he was doing. But if he didn't like what I did, he would go silent on me. And I'm not talking an hour or two. I'm talking days. Days. And I go up and say, Dad, Dad, Dad. And he'd look at me and he'd put his hand to his lips and go, shake his head left to right. Mm-mm. He wouldn't even say no, just with a mad face. Do you know what it does to a little boy who is powerless to begin with? It drives you crazy. It makes you nuts. You'll do anything to get his response. You might even become a talk show host later on in life instead of an accordionist and a dentist. Instead of becoming a dentist, I did everything but become a dentist. I have nothing against dentists. My dentist is wonderful. But the point was is that I became a rebel as a result. It creates rebellion in a person to be treated. Never mind in that way. Let's say you had a father who beat you. That's another story. I once did a whole show on abuse altogether 5 years ago or more, Neil. I don't know. You weren't with the show. I did it on it. It was actually about physical abuse. We could not believe the calls we got. We had Italian people calling who were raised in New York's Little Italy at the time, whose mothers beat them with, if I remember, they forget the father beating him with a strap. That was baby talk. They had fathers who beat him with electrical cords. They didn't cry about it. They became tough guys. That's all. They didn't hate their father or mother. That's what they expected. It doesn't necessarily, by the way, kill a child, to go into this in a little more detail. And I'm not talking about corporal punishment because I don't believe in it. I never used that with my children, ever. And I didn't use the silent treatment either. There are many ways to discipline a child without using either of those. To me, communication is the essence of it. But the question is, what do you do if you have one who doesn't talk to you? You see, that's another story. Because the child can wind up giving you the silent treatment for like 15 years. And then what are you going to do? You learn to live without it. That's all. They grow up. They follow their own world. They become their own person. And the family today is not what the family was when I grew up anyway. I don't know how many of you actually see your family or talk to your family or communicate with your family. Some do. Some don't. I know perfectly fine people who never communicate with their brothers, sisters, or parents, but maybe once or twice a year. A text. They don't even care. They don't exist for them. That's the family today. The Sunday dinner, forget about it. What Sunday dinner? There is no Sunday dinner. That's when the families would come together in the tradition of America. It doesn't exist, except in small pockets of America. But I'm not going to fix that. I'm not here to fix that. I'm just talking about something broader than that, which is the silent treatment. You understand that. I have such wonderful callers. I could do this right now until darkness fell. I could do this for 5 hours, incidentally. And I'm going to do it as long as I can. Regina on KBOB in Albuquerque, New Mexico, thank you very much for calling. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to tell you that you just described my mother, and you never get over it. I was in therapy for years, off and on, and you just don't get over it. Something inside of you gets very twisted.
Of course, that's right. There are scars. Let's put it that way. But you're saying it with a certain emotional tenor in your voice. You're hurt over this. Why was your mom like that?
Well, at one point I thought it was because she was a Holocaust survivor. But then I asked my aunt, who went through the same thing, and she said, oh, no. She said she was like that before the war.
Oh, God. That's just what you didn't want to hear. Oh, God, I'm sorry to laugh. It's a relief of tension. I've had the similar situation where you want to almost justify their bad behavior for something they've suffered, but it had nothing to do with it. They were bad before the event.
Yeah, my aunt said she was very spoiled. She was the only girl in the family and the youngest, so she was totally spoiled. And
but you're saying your mom treated you with a silent treatment? Is that what you're saying?
Quite often. That was her idea of discipline. She would just not talk to me.
And how long did this go on? For what period of time?
Well, as far as I can remember, from childhood until I left home.
And no, I'm sorry. I asked the question in the wrong way. How many days did she give it to you?
Oh, a couple times. She went for a week. It was horrible.
Mm-hmm. Have you been able to have a successful relationship in your own life?
I do. I have a very good marriage right now. My first marriage was not so great, and I went way out of bounds because I'm Jewish, and I married a Roman Catholic, and they disowned me. My parents disowned me for about 3 years.
And then what happened?
Well, I married him, and then there was a very traumatic incident where I was carjacked, and my husband at the time got a hold of my parents because he was enraged. And after that, we started to see them. And then she couldn't do it anymore. I wasn't in the house, and I was living a completely different life, although we lived near each other.
But did it make you a rebel because your mother treated you that way? Did you become rebellious? Is that what you're saying?
I moved to Jamaica.
Oh, you mean the island of Jamaica, not Jamaica, Queens.
The island of Jamaica. For a while, I was in the Bahamas. I knocked around the island. I did everything I could.
So, but were you a hippie kind of person? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, but I had to support myself because I was on my own, so I had to have a job. They wouldn't give me any money when I left home, so I had to put myself through school and, you know, work. So I couldn't be a full-time hippie because I was working and going to school.
Yeah, but you sound like a very kind, compassionate person, Regina. You really do. I can hear it in your voice. You don't seem to have any of that meanness in you that you and seem to have been raised with.
I don't think so. People are.
I guess what I'm asking you, Regina, is do you use this treatment to this day on others because your mother did it to you?
Never.
Never. So you decided never to do it to others. That's what you're saying.
Absolutely. I know how painful it is. I would never do it to anybody else. Never.
Well, you're a very, very sweet person. Now, again, I'm going to ask a very personal question. Why do you listen to the Savage Nation? I assume you're a regular listener. Why?
Well, for information. For the first thing. The second thing is that you have a perspective that nobody else has, and I enjoy when you
I like the little laugh. I get that.
The information is really the main
All right,
thing.
So at the end of the day, forget the humor, the insight. You really like the way I analyze things? Is that what you mean by informational?
Very much so. I understand what you're saying most of the time. So I feel like a kinship and being Jewish. And
so if I make a statement that Descartes said, I think therefore I am, and then I say, Savage said, I talk therefore I am. You know who Descartes is, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so you that's what you mean by you understand the context.
Yes.
All right, so you had, you know, that's very interesting, because sometimes I don't know if I'm losing my audience with some of my obscure references, which to me are not that obscure. Regina, I don't know whether you're a liberal or conservative, but I do know that you need to read Stop the Coming Civil War and show it to your friends, so I'm sending you a free copy. That brings us to exactly 45 minutes after the hour. I have time for one quick call right now on the program. I don't know who the best is. Would that be Dawn? We have such great callers on this. I never thought this would carry over for 5-10 minutes. Look at this. You know, I mean, this is turning a subject that's so obscure into a wonderful, wonderful program. Let me go to WJR in Detroit, one of my greatest affiliates. Not that each one isn't important to me, but I was never on in Detroit, by the way. In all the years I was in radio until I started with Cumulus, I never had an audience in Detroit. It's an amazing audience. Steve on WJR, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, my mom used the switch on me. The switch, the pain of that went away within a matter of minutes. But silent treatment from my father, which was a Detroit teacher, that would carry over for years. I had issues where I had dyslexia, and he was accusing me of not being not trying hard enough. And the treatment I would get, the face expressions, the
God! Now, would you explain to the audience what dyslexia is? They may not know that it's a real condition. What is it?
Apparently the connection between the eyes and the brain, you see things backwards, and there's other issues about seeing things the correct way, I guess. But I don't really even understand it. I paid $1,200 to a professional, and he's trying to explain to me that I need special classes, and the classes are outrageously high. But my father, I can feel to this day just thinking about it. The silent treatment that he would give you, just with my sisters and my brother, the shrugging and walking away from you. And
let me ask you something, Steve. A little bit of the reaction that you're describing may be an ethnic habit. What ethnicity is your family?
Race?
Yeah, no, not race so much as what's the country of origin of your father?
German and Irish.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it's a cultural habit of German men of that generation, by the way. I don't think it was that unique, Steve. I think a lot of men were very, very tough-minded from those countries in those days, and they didn't have time to mess around with emotions that they themselves didn't want to deal with. And the easiest way to do it was to just look. If a kid wasn't doing what they wanted, they would do whatever they had to try to get him in line. I don't think they necessarily did it to hurt you. I don't know. I don't really know the motivation. All I know is that it's a very deep topic for so many people listening to the show. The silent treatment has touched the raw nerve once again in the Savage Nation. I'm sending you a free copy of Stop the Coming Civil War. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. It is the Savage Nation. Silent treatment, emotional abuse. Are you a victim? I mean, that's the question. I don't know how I stumbled on it, but here we are. You know, we're talking about schools can do this to kids. Kids can do it to parents, to teachers, parents, whatever. And in my day, if a kid misbehaved, they would scold you or send you to a vice principal. Today, the L.A. School District Police have ordered an armored vehicle and a grenade launcher. The Los Angeles School District Police received equipment that was developed for Iraq, including a 20-foot-long armored vehicle as well as grenade launchers from the U.S. Marines. I guess discipline is different today. Instead of sending a child to the vice principal, they hit you with a grenade launcher. But I truly think that because of the danger that the school district is in Los Angeles, they should consider getting TOW missiles. Don't you think, Neil? Why stop at a grenade launcher for a child who's acting up? I think a TOW missile might work. L.A. Unified School District Police Chief Steve Zipperman said that the vehicle was needed for, quote, extraordinary circumstances that involve life-saving situations. Now, the L.A. School Police Department's mission is, quote, to assist students, teachers, administrators, and other staff in providing a safe and tranquil environment. I guess they're not really building a domestic army. No, I guess Obama's not building a domestic army. No. He's not building an SA. No, he already has one. He already has an SA in the form of the TSA and the DHS. I guess he's building an SS. Sieg Heil! Welcome to the Savage Nation. Hour number 3 is coming. Be here and be not there.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. And speaking of the White House, we are talking about the emotional abuse suffered by people through the silent treatment, whether it be in business relationships, marriage, love affairs, or friendships, parent, teacher, teacher, pupil, parent, child, child, parent, employer, employee, even friends. You can be the abuser or be the abused through the silent treatment. Let's say you send emails to someone, just a friend of yours, and they don't answer you. Or you have a child who you call and they won't answer you. And then months later, they'll send you a little turt, little a terse little email. Turt, that's an interesting word, turt. Turt is a combination of terse and I can't use the word. a turt email. It's a fake word. But this passive-aggressive behavior on the part of the abuser is what's interesting to me and what it does to people. Not speaking to someone is a manipulative tool often favored by narcissists, like Obama. He is abusing the taxpayer in a way that's never been done before by any other president in American history. If you're a member of a, let's say, a special group, do I have to name them? The illegal alien. I mean, Nancy Pelosi washes the feet of the illegal alien and spits on the taxpaying conservative. What more do you need to know about abuse than that? And so we're dealing with good therapy today. The silent treatment, preferred weapon that is used by abusers. And basically, they're insecure narcissists are, and they develop a false sense of control in a relationship by cutting off communication. And then they demand that you apologize for what you have allegedly transgressed with when you actually have done nothing. And that's what the problem is here with Obama and the Democrat Socialist Islamist Party of America. And the war between them and us is a very serious issue. And I would rather talk more about the personal than the political, although we're going to do both in this hour in the Savage Nation. But if you have a comment on, if you've ever been in the receiving end of the silent treatment, I'd like to hear about it, 855-407-282. Because right now, we are seeing the results of the silent treatment to the taxpayer. The increased militarization of the police is very worrisome. And I believe that Obama is building up to a second conflagration in this country. I don't mean in the sense of a war between the states, but a war between true patriots who believe in our nation's founding documents and those in the Obama administration and, frankly, in half the Republican Party or more who are working every day to undermine them and change the very nature of the country. No, it's not a war of bullets and blood, but one of commitment to freedom and courage of conviction. And I believe that we face far more than just political differences now. I believe that the split between right and left is irreparable unless we truly understand what's really going on and how we must act to stop it. And I do so in Stop the Coming Civil War. And I'm mentioning it to you because I put my heart and soul in the book. It's coming out in a few weeks. I know it's going to be a bestseller because of you, but that's not what it was written for. It's not for me to go to Jamaica on a vacation. It's not for me to buy a new car. It's not for me to take a trip. I want you to understand that a book can change the course of human events. They've done it. There have been books along the way. I'm thinking of a few. I mentioned the other day several books that have done so. Just the titles alone have changed the course of a society. For example, Silent Spring by Rachel Carson. The title said it all, that one day we'd wake up and we'd have a silent spring, the birds would be dead from all the pesticides. Now, it was an overstatement of the facts, but it was an honest statement and a true one. And it basically set the stage for the entire ecological movements that followed, which then morphed into the business of the environmental movement, which have then again been morphed into the lie of global warming, whatever you want to call it. Just become a con. Sort of like religion starts out as something honest and ends up as a scam, a business. And Stop the Coming Civil War has been written to change the course of human events. It's to change the course that America is on. It's a no-holds-barred tale as gripping as any movie script. And there will be a superhero to save the day, and that's called you. We, the people, are the superhero who can save the country we love. Do you understand why I want you to check it out? Now, let's go to the callers on the game of the silent treatment here on the Savage Nation. I've had some fun playing love songs from the 50s mainly. In fact, I should play another one right now because I want to hear a little music to get me going. How about Stranger in Paris? Nah, that's corny. That's corsages and white gloves. Tony Martin is corsages and white gloves. Could you imagine there was an age in America not that far ago when women wore white gloves when they left their houses? Can you believe this? I can give you a little simile. It goes like this. From white gloves to white, and I can't finish the phrase in one generation. But, I mean, you can pretty much figure. We played Corvair's True True Love, Cleftones, The Book of Love, Fiesta So Fine, Phil Philippe, Sea of Love, Paul Anka, Head on My Shoulders. And we're taking requests here on the Savage Nation. I'm having more fun playing records and talking about the abuse of the silent treatment than I am doing politics. But I am working in politics, I must admit. You know, WBAP in Texas. Marcia, you are the victim of the silent treatment. How did it work out? What happened?
Well, Dr. Savage, I had a very stoic Scotch dad and a very talkative Irish mother. And we sometimes, our dad wouldn't say something for a week. We wouldn't even know what we did. It was, that was so painful, but it was also almost a mystery. Because he get mad about something. Sometimes he wouldn't even know what it was. And
you mean he would take it out on you by not talking to the kids?
He didn't talk to anybody. He would just not talk to anybody. He'd be aggravated.
Yeah, but you know, there are people like that, though. Some of them are doing it not to hurt people, although most are. They're doing it because they don't know what to say, and they'd rather say nothing than say something wrong. Don't you think?
I do think that, and I tell you what has just really hit with me with this conversation today. It made me stronger because I knew my dad loved me. But it also made me angry, and I'm so angry right now with this narcissistic, I'm not even going to say it, I'm from Texas, I'm pretty outspoken, but I can, the comparative story, the line today, with the narcissistic president not listening to us, the people.
Yes, I think that my analogy is an apt one, and I do believe that I stumbled upon gold here. When I'm comparing the silent treatment of a man to a wife or a man to a woman to what Obama's doing to the taxpayer in this country, I think it's an apt analogy.
Well, I was so angry. I've been angry about this, not been able to sleep. It's just absurd, you know, it's just horrible. Oh, you know,
yeah, he treats all of us like dirt and like garbage. It's the God and slave relationship. We're all his slaves. We owe it to him. So him and his wife can fly around the world and abuse us with their vacations and then come back and tell us that we should pay our fair share or associate only with millionaires, billionaires, and dirtbags of every kind and then tell us that we owe him money to continue his partying or go and give a speech about a beheading and then go to the golf course. You talk about abuse. Now, you understand why I've tried to channel this conversation in another direction, because there's only so much pain I can take talking about this man. He is a monster. The man is a monster.
Monster. He's evil. And I, the other day, when you had the Cicero quote, I went to my...
Oh, yeah, it's being spread all over the internet, the enemy within Cicero quote. People love that one. It's all over the internet now.
I printed it out. I made 500 copies. And I'm leaving it places that I go, anonymous.
Yeah, but you got to point it to the right direction. Here's a guy, today is Constitution Day. He gave a speech about himself. Did you know that?
Oh, yes, and are we surprised?
You know, this guy is a stereotype of everything negative, to say the least. Now, I'm going to send you Stop the Coming Civil War if you agree to do one thing. Would you go on your social networks and tell people about the book?
You bet.
Well, let's spread the word while we still can. This is the Savage Nation. The time is. Thanks for calling, Dawn. I don't know the young lady's name. I'm sorry. Who's the best caller out there, Neil, for right now? I want the best. Marsha BAP was wonderful. WMAL in Washington, D.C. Dawn, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Savage. My child came in from school, and he heard part of the program. And he said to me, because he was intrigued by the combination of two subjects, the silent treatment versus politics, and he stated to me that your program is like classical progressive rock music. It holds the listeners by changing the tempo and the texture of the music, and he hopes to keep doing it.
Interesting. Well, no, nobody would have expected that this would be the show for the day. I mean, you turn on any other talk show, it's going to be about, I give you three choices. It's going to be bashing liberals. Oh, that's a very exciting topic. It's going to be about the football player. That's very exciting and interesting, I'm sure, to people who, I don't understand why anyone would want to talk about that. How could you discuss that for 5 hours a day? I don't get it. I don't understand why anyone could do that. So I had to shift gears to go to a subject that I thought was of some interest to me from the point of view, a psychological point of view, rather, and also then relating it to the political, because I think the personal is political. And I'm glad you saw. How old is your son?
He's 16 going on 17.
Oh, he's not a child. He's a man. He's very intelligent. I'm sure you're very proud of him, correct?
And I'm proud of him. Yes, sir.
Well, he's very smart. He compared this to progressive rock music. Is that what you said?
Yes. Similar to what you play. You play Metallica and bands like Megadeth.
Yeah, well, I do play that, but today you notice what I've been playing, all 50s love songs?
Yes, and we've loved it too.
Interesting. Well, I do try to make the music interesting, and I change it up. I'm sending you a copy of Stop the Coming Civil War, but wait, you're getting two copies, Dawn. One for you and one for your son, so he can bring it to school and get arrested by the Department of Homeland Security. 855-417-282. Thai police eye bisexual link and tourist double murder. Oh, God, no. You're kidding me. Have you seen that story of that? They're a nice-looking couple from England. Of course, that doesn't mean anything. And they went on a beach, and they were found butchered from a garden hose. A garden hoe. I don't want to use the word garden hoe in a story like this because the word hoe has a double connotation. But a garden hoe was used to kill this lovely, good-looking young British couple on a remote beach in Thailand. Well, today we learned that Thai police are preparing to arrest a British man over the brutal murder of his close friend and another female backpacker on an island beach popular with tourists in Thailand. They have the name and all of that. So it was a love triangle and whatever. That's who they're blaming. In Thailand, you don't know the truth. They could be covering up because a local did it. They could be covering up that a foreigner did it. At first, they said it was a guest worker. Police chief said that fragments of hair belonging to a foreigner had been found by Bangkok forensics experts in the hand of the girl who was murdered on Monday morning along with her boyfriend, 24. So who knows? Who's the foreigner? I don't know. DNA samples from two Englishmen, including blah, 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 blah. Who knows who did it? It's a horrible thing. Getting killed over love, it wouldn't be the first time. It is the Savage Nation. Who is the most ridiculous celebrity in the world? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. It is the Savage Nation playing love songs today to counter the hate songs coming out of the Middle East and the White House. Taking it from a different perspective, we're giving you a little variety, entertainment, information, along with the normal borders, language, and culture talk on the Savage Nation. Here's some heartbreaking news. The House just approved President Narcissist Obama's Syria plan. The Syria plan, as we well know, is a ruse to bring down Assad. And the morons in the House of Representatives, in the Republican side, I'd expect this from the psychotics in the Democrat Socialist Islamist Party, but the psychos in the Republican Party went along and approved O's plan to train and equip so-called moderate Syrian rebels. to be our new allies. Well, according to every source I can read that's viable, there are no moderate rebels. They've all been absorbed by the monsters, the killers, the ISIS fighters. So we're now going to be giving weapons and training, once again, to those who will harm us and kill our own men. So I have to ask you, if the Republicans go along with this with hardly a voice of protest, where in the world is the sanity left in our political class? This is the same Congress that approved sending troops to Africa to fight Ebola without one idiot questioning, but sir, is there no risk of the soldiers, military personnel coming down with Ebola? Can you believe it when we know that the incubation period is at least 72 hours? In other words, a soldier or whatever can be exposed to it and come back to America with it and give it to others. I don't understand how there's such a lack of intelligence in the political class. I have no answer for you. I have no answer for you on those questions, but I have answers for you on other topics. We have time for one quick call. And then we have Scotty Nell Hughes, director of the Tea Party News Network, here to discuss her new book about conservative women in today's landscape, which should be a very interesting topic. KSFO, Judith, fire away. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, this is why your book, Stop the Coming Civil War, will sell out like crazy. I hope you have it in different languages. The world wants to hear it. You're the quintessential abuse diffuser by your book, by your show. I don't know if you know it or not, but you're taking off the solution to abuse to a person is taking your power back. You don't get angry. I mean, you don't do something wild, shoot him or something, but think of Michael Corleone talking to the senator after the senator ripped him apart. And he heads for the door, and Michael says, if you want my answer, I have it now.
Yes, and then his lawyer, Tom, jumps up and says, Senator, you owe us an apology. The day will come that this abuser in the White House will apologize to this nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So the morons in the House of ill repute passed a bill to allow Obama to arm the Syrian rebels, meaning to arm those who would kill us. Great. Nice going, guys. Tomorrow, of course, there's going to be a vote in Scotland to break off from the UK, which I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, if Scotland is a welfare state, what are they going to live on? Have they thought that through? Or is this a product of 1,000 years of eating haggis? I have to think about that. I mean, again, that requires knowledge of what haggis is. But the question is, you want independence and you're a welfare state, uh-huh. And what are you going to live on? That's number one. Number two, it's like the Hawaiians who want to create an independent nation. Great. And what's your economy going to be based upon? Poi? What, are you going to export poi to the world? I don't understand these people. Hawaii is a welfare state. Without welfare, they go out of business. Without the U.S. military, which is the number one contractor in Hawaii, there's nothing left. But I guess they could always grow taro and export poi. There's a huge market for poi around the world right now. Just ask the independence movement in Hawaii. See, this is all a product of emotionalism. They want their own nation, the Hawaiian nation. When there was a Hawaiian nation, they were eating each other. I mean, look back in history to King Kalakaua and the period before it. For God's sakes, they don't think. But anyway, what's the point? I think, therefore you are. I think, therefore you am. Let me take one quick call, and then we're going to go to our important guest, Scotty Nell Hughes, the Tea Party News Network director with her new book, Roar. I got to get one quick caller. Who's the one you say I should get, Neil? I don't know which one. Roger on KSFO in San Francisco. Tell us about the silent treatment.
Yes, in 1953, I was in the fifth grade at a parochial school, and they were planning a field trip to the Youngstown Philharmonic Orchestra so we can listen to the music of the Nutcracker Suite. Records were sent into the classroom, and we were listening to the records, and I inadvertently folded my arms and put my head down and kind of cradled my forehead on my arms, listening to the music, and felt a hand grab my collar, pull me out of my seat in school, took me into the cloakroom, and I got my ears boxed until they bled. And all the kids in the class thought this is even at that young age thought this is out of line. So we gave the teacher, a nun, the silent treatment for about 3 weeks. And she never knew why, and she broke into tears one day, and she asked, "Why are you doing it?" One of my buddies told the story, said, "The way you treated Roger, the way you slapped him and made his ears bleed, that was out of line." And she apologized, and we apologized, and that thing never happened in school.
That's amazing. You know, Roger, you have an interesting voice, and if I didn't know better, I would say you're Jerry Brown calling under an alias, but I know you're not.
And my father never found out about this. Yes, my father told
me. All right, Roger. Thanks for being a good sport and calling the Savage Nation. I truly appreciate it. Now let's go to our guest, Scotty Nell Hughes, author of Roar. She's the news director of the Tea Party News Network. And she's going to talk about conservative women in today's landscape. Scotty, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Michael. And let me just say, I think you should have started singing. I am all for singing on the radio. In fact, it's even more fun than singing in your shower by yourself.
Well, I don't sing in the shower because it might frighten the spiders and the insects who live near the water spout. But the thing is, Scotty, you deal with conservative women. It's a lot. How many people are in your network?
Oh, well, I mean, when we talk about network, it's what online media is. Network necessarily just means the grassroots movement. All we're doing is taking the work of great people like you and making sure that people hear it. That's all that when we talk about network, it's more about the grassroots network than necessarily a traditional media outlet like you probably think of.
No, but you say Tea Party News Network. So you have followers on social media and whatnot. Let me ask a more basic question. We hear the Tea Party is dead. We know it's not true. Is the Tea Party as strong, stronger, or weaker than it was 2 or 3 years ago?
The Tea Party is as strong as can be. The problem is the lamestream media has done everything they can to demonize them. So, folks, I don't care what side of the aisle you are on. If you believe in a limited government and a fiscal responsible and locking down our borders so that we can have security here at home, guess what? You are a member of the Tea Party. But I'll be honest with you. They've done a great job of demonizing us. I mean, combine a homophobe, combine a racist, a person that keeps grannies and the dogs in the street, all together is what the lamestream media has made the Tea Party
activists. Of course, they've made Tea Party activists into racists, Nazis, dog beaters, wife beaters. I know the game. But, you know, Nelly, you got to keep up the good work. Have you heard my discussion today about the silent treatment and where I say Obama's treating the taxpayers of America? In fact, I could go further and say he's treating the Tea Party in particular the way an abusive husband treats a wife. Would you say that's an apt analogy?
I've caught a little bit. I'll be honest with you, I'm about to go on Charles Payne's show Making Money, so I have been looking at the Scottish issue, so I've been listening to your analyzation of Scotland, to be honest with you. But that's the whole side of it right now that we have, you know, this conversation has to be happening.
Well, no, what I'm saying is I've been talking for hours now about the silent treatment, a preferred weapon of a man towards a woman in a relationship. And then I made the bigger analogy that Obama treats the taxpayer, even the Tea Party member, in the same way that the abusive husband treats a wife using the silent treatment. He treats us with disdain, contempt, silence, in an attempt to control us and to manipulate us. I believe that that's an analogy that should be used for people to understand who we're dealing with.
No, you're completely correct. But, you know, here's what's even worse than the silent treatment is what you're about to get, Michael. Because to be honest with you, you are one of the strongest conservative voices that we have. And Hillary Clinton and her little sorority girls are going to demonize you because they know that you're not afraid to call out the facts about her lack of a record. So they're going to sit there and they're going to try to neuter you and say, you know, anything he says bad about Hillary, it's because he's a sexist. Well, you can handle
it. Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's going to be, of course, what they use. But, you know, between you and I, since you're in the side of the woman's side, the Tea Party News Network, and you deal with conservative women, let's forget conservative or liberal women. Don't you think Hillary Clinton is an unattractive candidate to women in general?
You would think, because personally, outside of being a Victoria's Secret swimsuit model, if a man hired me because I was a woman, I would be offended. And trust me, I'm not going to be hired as a Victoria's Secret swimsuit model ever. So, you know, the fact come out, and it's not just her.
No, I mean that she's run her course. She's old news. She's a rehash. She's an old egg that's being reordered. It's an old rotten egg. What are they running her for? What is so great? What is her track record? Everything she's touched has gone up in smoke, from Libya to Syria. You know, the Arab Spring was the Arab winter from the day she started it. What is she running on other than hot air?
Well, Well, who's their backup? Joe Biden? Are you kidding me? That's like Christmas to you and I. That means, like, we won't ever have to have show prep because it's going to be given to us every day. The reason why they've got Hillary is because they think Bill is still just as popular. And Hillary Clinton, I hate to break it to him, is no Bill Clinton. In fact, if you thought Barack Obama was scary, Hillary is even worse because Barack at least has his cronies around him telling him how to be a progressive. Hillary is one tried and true.
You're saying that Hillary Clinton would be more to the left of Obama?
100%, Michael. I am absolutely, this woman absolutely scares me. Now, like I said, I don't put much past Barack Obama, but Hillary herself, she's one, she doesn't care about public opinion. At least Barack Obama is kind of a celebrity in chief. He cares where the tidal wave's going. Hillary could care less. She's going to put in her agenda no matter what's going on and what the public thinks of her.
Now, your book is called Roar. What is that about?
It's real simple. Whether it's I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar or Kay Perry's Roar, the key is because great guys like yourself probably are going to have some neutering issues. Now, you'll handle your own, I'm sure. I need to make sure that women, whether they're in Iowa, Kentucky, or New York, with their circles in the PTO, their Bible study, at the temple, wherever they are, they're not afraid to speak out and speak their voice when it goes to politics. And talking about how the real war on women is the war on conservative women. Liberal women,
yes,
will save a spotted owl.
Oh, absolutely. The real war on women is a war on conservative women. There's no question about that. That's a very important point. Who is Hillary going to run in the primaries against, in your opinion?
I think you're going to see Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren. I think we're going to, I'm up here in New York right now. Lord help me. I think de Blasio has assigned me my own drone at this point, especially when he finds out I'm talking to you. I probably just got a double whammy on me.
De Blasio is going to run for the presidency?
No, I'm saying he signed me a drone, but I think we're going to see, I think we're going to see a Cuomo come out for president, too, as well.
Oh, please. Cuomo has no, Cuomo is absolutely unknown and unliked outside of New York State.
Basically, that's why I think it's going to be Hillary. They're going to sit here and run a couple little lambs around her so that it's an obvious choice. Unlike us Republicans that do something really stupid where we put 14 good people in the race, and then we're surprised when they all gnash each other and make them so bloody.
Oh, God, my worst nightmare, Scotty, is that Newt Gingrich will run again, and he will decimate a legitimate candidate who has a chance to defeat Hillary. And that's what Newt did last time to Romney. He undermined him to the point that Romney lost. I pray to God that they don't run McCain again. What do you think of that?
No, I don't think it's McCain. If anybody, it will be Romney back in. But I'll be honest with you, Michael, maybe this is something we disagree on, which is very rare because I listen to your show a lot and agree with you on 99.9%. I want to try, you know what, run all the moderates you want, but let's put one honest, true conservative in there, whether it's a Scott Walker or a Ted Cruz. I just want one. I don't know if we...
Oh, no, I don't disagree with you. I would take Ted Cruz over any of them. He gives me 95% on the dollar. The others give me less than zero.
Exactly, and we're in a negative, and somehow magically we end up owing them after we've already paid them everything.
So yeah. No, Ted Cruz is a good candidate. I don't know if he can beat Hillary in a debate. I know he's far better than her. I know he's more honest than her. I know he's more conservative than her. But the question is, we know what the media is going to do to him. They've done it already. So the war on women in your book is really the war on conservative women, correct?
Do you ever see them challenging? They went after Scott Walker. They went after, you know, they go after the men real quickly, but you've never heard them come out against conservative women. And there's a reason why, because it's kind of like their cloak of security. They sit there and spew all this emotional stuff, and then they go, but you're sexist the second you return, and they, like, go hide behind their little mommy skirt.
Well, what about Elizabeth Warren, who has come out and said the most anti-Semitic thing imaginable, and she just got away with it? The fake Indian from Massachusetts?
That's from Tennessee, which is where I'm from, which is the biggest joke of them all. Like I said, that's why I think they're going to sit here and softball Hillary a couple people just to show that she has a race, supposedly. But it's going to...
All right. Well, I appreciate it, and I wish you great luck with your book, Roar. Scotty Nell Hughes, thank you very much for joining us today on The Savage Nation. We're just flat out of time. I'll be back in a moment to take more of your calls and all the latest news right here on Stop the Coming Civil War Time.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO-I-N. I've been talking about the silent treatment today, the narcissist in chief. Self-centered, egotistical, self-absorbed. Have you gotten the silent treatment for anybody? Huh? Well, I'm sure it occurs in relationships between lovers, husbands, wives, parents, children. But in true form, the President of the United States, in my opinion, is the super silent treatment giver. He doesn't want to know what you have to say, you the taxpayer. But if you're a leftist radical, a minority, a gay, an illegal, a Muslim, an illegal immigrant, or some other lauded special interest, or clap along in lockstep, you're deemed worthy of attention from our investor-in-chief. Otherwise, it seems this president has stopped talking to all the taxpayers. The narcissist-in-chief is giving most of us taxpayers the silent treatment, punishing Americans he disagrees with by not recognizing you at all. You have become invisible. Yeah, and then there's Joe Biden apologizing to the Jewish professional community, Abraham Foxman, of course, the head of the only Jewish group that exists, the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, for using the word Shylock. I don't know. He said, what, Shylock? What did he say? That has to do with Jews? Why? Why would the ADL be involved with the word Shylock? I don't get that one. A comment he made about Shylocks? Foxman noted the expression Shylocks has roots, quote, in the medieval stereotype about Jews and remains an offensive characterization to this day. Excuse me, Mr. Foxman. I don't know of a single Jew who's a Shylock. Pardon me. I don't know what the sensitivity is to this issue. Anyway, Biden, who has foot and mouth disease, made the remark during a speech to the Legal Services Corporation in which he criticized those who would take advantage of military service members with bad loans as Shylocks who took advantage of these women and men while overseas. He could also say Democrats who took advantage of these women and men while overseas. It would be more appropriate. Meanwhile, the MacArthur Foundation grants, so-called geniuses, they gave their latest to a Stanford University social scientist who studied police and says they're racist. And by the way, she's African-American. And for that insight, equal to Edison's discovery of the light bulb, she received $625,000 for her genius award. Now you understand why America's in the toilet in terms of creativity. The winner says, I really want to be able to improve police and community relations. That's what I would love to do. What a genius. What a real genius we have there. Remember Jindal, that clueless guy down in wherever he is, Louisiana, Governor Bobby Jindal, how he was lauded by the Republicans as the next Barack Obama, God forbid? Well, this clueless fool, Jindal, backs Obama's giving arms to Syrian rebels. What a fool this man really is. What is it going to take? I don't know. On my website, michaelsavage.com, we have a soundbite for you. Savage debates a religious Jewish caller. And that's a hot one. A lot of people called me about that, both pro and con. Why don't you see what you think about that one? Meanwhile, illegal aliens are rushing our border, fearing the U.S. will crack down. Oh, really? And we're not stopping them? No, we're inviting them. After all, we have loads of money to give out. On the top left of MichaelSavage.com, please pre-order Stop the Coming Civil War and do your part in stopping Obama from granting amnesty to illegal aliens. You could do it by simply displaying the book cover, Stop the Coming Civil War. Put it in your window, put it on your desk, put it on your coffee table, but for God's sakes, put it somewhere to stop the coming Civil War.
Savage.